Welcome everyone to WFHR's Playmakers. Playmakers being brought to you proudly by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Big shout out to Phil and the gang over there. We say good morning to our friends. It is the 15th of May, 10:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mayloff here. I am joined by my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
Our utility guy around here.
I don't mind being a utility guy.
You can play every position.
That's right.
Seth and I are going to have fun taking your phone calls, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. In just a few moments, we're going to be joined by my little brother. Nicholas Mayloff is director of partnership with the Milwaukee Herd. Nick is going to join us talking about the recent awards that the Milwaukee Herd have won.
Nice.
I want to talk a little bit about that, talk about what's up and coming for next year. So we'll be doing that in just a few. Looking forward to it. It took having family on the show, Seth, for me to not start our show talking about the Chicago Blackhawks winning the number one pick in the NHL draft.
It did. That's about what it would take. Yes.
Yeah.
That's basically.
I almost broke into our on-air content that night and just jumped on the air. Woo! And then went off.
What was that? No, oh my gosh.
Nothing journalistic to add to the conversation.
No context
whatsoever.
At all.
No, just me screaming. For those that didn't hear, the NHL had their draft lottery last week. The Blackhawks had the third best odds to get that first pick.
They
got the opportunity to grab a life-changing, a franchise-changing player in Connor Bedard, 17-year-old Canadian kid who, if you Google him, you look up his playing. I don't even know what to say.
No, it's astonishing, absolutely astonishing.
They just keep having, creating these phenoms.
How do they do it?
Going back to Kobe Bryant coming out of going from high school to the NBA and seeing how good this kid was and being like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this makes sense. I see why he did this. Kevin Garnett, very similar.
Yep.
LeBron James, of course, taking it to another level.
Yes.
Hockey, you don't get to see, like, we don't have the phenom happen as often.
Not as often, no.
You know, Connor McDavid is playing lights out hockey, playing amazing, even though their team just lost in the finals yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the playoffs, I mean, not finals.
Yep.
Nobody in the world wouldn't take Connor McDavid on their team, and nobody's probably going to tell you he's not the best player in hockey. By far and away, he is, and he's only getting better. Like,
exactly.
He just keeps getting better and better. This kid, they say, is even greater than him. Like, it's incredible, and it's big. Now, does that mean that the Blackhawks are going to win a Stanley Cup? No, you know, I have no idea.
No.
But it does mean that that guy that sells T-shirts outside the United Center, the restaurants around there, that all these different things, that's what it means for that city.
Yes.
And that helps Wisconsin. Whether you believe it or not, Chicago dollars affect Wisconsin dollars and vice versa.
It does.
It's no different than needing each other than it is Stevens Point needing Rapids dollars or Rapids needing Stevens Point dollars or anything like that. It's the very same thing. If you think that's not true, then please go ahead and just keep out all outstate dollars. Don't let any in-state dollars into this state and see how good your businesses and your companies do.
Well, and I think there's a good chance. There's a good shot. For the Blackhawks to do well, because you've seen the last couple of those generational talents, your Alex Ovechkins, your Sidney Crosbys, those teams all went on to win the Stanley Cup at some point, and you're going back to Gretzky, same thing. So, these guys can make big changes really quick.
To your point, Seth, this is only the second time the Blackhawks in their history, and again, they are an original six team,
so they've been
around since the beginning of the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
This is only the second time they've had the number one pick. The last time, they grabbed future Hall of Famer Patrick Kane, who helped us win three Stanley Cups. Yes. I'm very excited about this, not just as obviously being a diehard Blackhawk fan, what this means for the city, what this means for the Midwest. Think about what it meant having LeBron James in Ohio.
Yes.
Like how much that affected Wisconsin dollars affected things, let alone like next door. That's what that's going to do and everything. That's huge.
All around, it's a big thing. And it's good for the game. When you have guys like this, you're right. People are, and it's not just Chicago. Every time they go to a road game, people are going to want to see this kid. They're going to buy tickets, and they're going to go to the game. And that's going to help hockey in general.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's cool.
Very exciting weekend of playoffs in the NHL and NBA. A lot of different stuff going on with that. I want to get into a little bit of it, and I certainly want to talk some baseball here with you. I can't have a brain like Seth here and not talk baseball. since my brother's going to be calling up any moment to talk some basketball, let's stick with basketball just for a moment. Interesting. We can get to the playoffs in a moment. I want to talk a little bit about, though, the firings that have gone on in the NBA.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Now, recently, of course, Mike Budenholzer lost his job. That was pretty surprising, I think, to some. But not nearly as surprising as Monty Williams losing his job over the weekend in Phoenix.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't hear
I didn't
about
even
this,
hear
did
about
yeah.
that.
So the Phoenix Suns fired Monty Williams with quite a shock. He's in four seasons, Monty Williams became a two-time coach of the year, leading the Phoenix Suns to its first NBA Finals appearance since 1993, achieved the best record in the NBA in 2021-22. Recently, they've had similar story to Milwaukee. They've had some success, but they have lost sooner than they were supposed to, you know, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that that gave kind of like ownership a chance to pull the trigger and say, hey, you're out of here. Now, taking a step back and looking at some of the more recent firings, I mentioned Monty Williams, mentioned Mike Budenholzer. Before that, Nick Nurse with Toronto, and then Frank Vogel. With Los Angeles the year before.
Yeah.
So in the last two seasons, looking at just some of these coaches, Monty Williams, 22 Coach of the Year, 21 NBA Finals. Mike Budenholzer, 22 NBA Champion, 2019 Coach of the Year. Nick Nurse, 2019 NBA Champion, 22 Coach of the Year. And Frank Vogel, of course, won the 2020 championship with the LA Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is such a what have you done for me now? Like not lately, now. What have you done for
yesterday,
me now?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Business and everything. I don't know that this is this has happened in sports forever and everything. And it's not too surprising, especially if you're used to these things happening, and yet it's still surprising. Like it's still shocking.
Monty Williams, honestly, what how can he take the blame?
Yeah.
The way they set up the team at the end of the year.
Yes.
You cannot, I mean, yeah, it's not his fault Chris Paul can't stay healthy in the playoffs. It's not his fault that, you know, Kevin Durant is fragile. And even though when they brought him on, it looked like they were going to go straight to the top.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what to say.
Your general manager makes this trade to help out your team, but then takes away your bench. So you have no depth.
You've got no depth.
So knowing that you have Chris Paul, who, nothing against Chris Paul, but even when he was a young athlete, he would get injured in the playoffs, let alone now as a 38-year-old.
Yeah.
You got to expect, okay, I need a good backup point guard.
Yeah.
And you've got Devin Booker. You've got Kevin Durant. You've got DeAndre Ayton. You have a good unit there, but anybody who, like, you would think this general manager didn't know the playoff system, because the playoffs are all about depth.
Yeah.
No matter what sport you're talking about. Yes, all-stars, you know, help you win games and everything. Championships are not won on defense. Championships are won on depth.
Yes.
No matter, I don't care if you're talking hockey, football, basketball, wherever you're talking, it's about depth.
Yeah. And Monty Williams did the best he could with what he had.
Yeah.
I don't know how this goes on him, but
kind of shocking. Kind of surprising. We are really fortunate right now to be joined by a young up-and-comer in the NBA circles and everything. We have with us right now Director in Partnerships with the Milwaukee Herd, Nicholas Maloff. I believe I'm saying that right. Nicholas Maloff. Good morning, Nicholas.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing even better now. Nick, we're doing this. This is our job. We get to do this as our job right now.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I had to get that out of the way. Nick, how you doing, man? It's good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Nicholas is joining us today in part because the NBA, the Milwaukee Herd, just won the G League Franchise of the Year and Promotion of the Year Awards. I want to talk with him a little bit about that. Before we get too far, Nick, if I'm being honest, I really wasn't paying attention much to your early days in your life. So I'd like to get a little bit of an origin story. I've never asked that question to somebody I actually literally know every day of his life. Like, I've never. But Nick, tell us a little bit about how you got into this job with the Milwaukee Herd.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're the Wisconsin Herd.
Wisconsin Herd. And, I keep doing that. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Hey, no problem. We are the Milwaukee Bucks G League affiliate.
Yes.
So it is very understandable. And I will say, for someone who has been teasing me my entire life for the last 30-some years, at least now you get to do it over a larger audience.
It's so, a good point. It's good. You know, thank you for that. Thank you.
I'm glad that you checked off another box on your wish list. Yeah, a little bit about me. So, about 13 years ago, I started my professional career after I graduated from Lakeland University. And so I started in sales because I graduated with a marketing degree. And when I applied for a bunch of marketing jobs, they told me, well, if you sell stuff, you can do the marketing on the side. So I was like, all right, fine, I guess I'll do that. And started off in sales, realized that one of my only talents was actually being able to talk to people, and I did that okay. So fast forward about 5 years ago, I started about 7 years ago now. Wow, time flies. Started with EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association, and that was my first job selling partnerships. So I'd always done basically widget sales or selling like a product. And so then I got the position at EAA, and I was tasked with selling ideas, or AIR we call it. So you, instead of selling just signage, what my role is selling in partnerships. You work with partners to sell ideas of how to get their brand visible and leverage different assets that you have at your disposal to try to be able to amplify their brand, right? So I started doing that at EAA and really loved it. And then, of course, COVID comes and ruins everyone's party. Mm-hmm. And so when COVID hit, I was still working at EAA and realized very quickly that, what am I doing with my life? You know, you get that realization of, Am I doing what I love? For you, I know that it's you being in radio. That's something that you've wanted to do your whole life, and you're doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of looked at myself and was thinking, you know, if I'm going to do anything, now's the time that I got to jump all in. And obviously, you grew up with me, so you kind of molded some of how I grew up and saw firsthand how much sports really helped me as a child.
I don't know how many times I can apologize for shaping. I'm so sorry. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, you know, you're the reason why it took so long for me to get where I am.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
There you go.
Which, again, I apologize.
So, yeah, I always wanted to be in sports. So I always told anyone that would listen, if I could work for the Bucks, Brewers, or Packers, I'd be in heaven, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a homer, just like you are. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to work in professional sports, but I never knew how. I didn't even know that this job actually existed. Mm-hmm. And so I did the whole, you know, when you're not really thinking of what you want to do, you just know that you want to get into a field, you kind of like use the shotgun method of spray and pray, right? So I was using LinkedIn, other online platforms to try to reach out to people that were in at those companies and figure out, how do I get in there? And I ended up getting a interview with Milwaukee Bucks, and I interviewed for a ticket sales position, and about halfway through the job, they stopped me and said, well, you know, from everything on your resume, you'd probably be better off to be a someone in partnerships with us, but we don't have any jobs open. So the person interviewing me at the time said, be patient, something will come up. And when it does, that perfect line that they always tell you, we'll keep you on file. Mm-hmm. And so no one wants to hear that.
No.
So I kind of brushed that off and just kind of kept my head down. And about a month or two later, I got a phone call, and she goes, hey, I know you live up in Oshkosh. Just wanted to let you know that our director of partnerships, corporate partnerships for the Wisconsin Herd, is opening up. Mm-hmm. We'd like you to apply. So About seven interviews later, I was lucky enough to get the position here with the Wisconsin Herd, and I've been doing this for about 2 years now, and loving every minute of it.
I appreciate that kind of breakdown, Nick, because I know that there's a lot of people like yourself out there. There's a majority of us out there. Seth and I would have loved to work in sports. I mean, there's so many of us grew up like that have this inkling of wanting to. And but how you do it, you said it perfectly. Well, how do I even do this? And Nicholas, being my brother, he doesn't. There are no stop signs to Nick. He's just going to find a way around it. He's going to find a way to get through that stop sign. He's going to figure it out, and he did. It's also kind of full circle. I hadn't really thought about this until this morning, knowing that you were going to be joining us, Nick. But I've told the audience, I've rambled about it plenty of times. We grew up in a sports family. Our father played sports quite a bit and everything. And growing up with that, I'm sure, you know, knowing our dad was always really supportive no matter what we wanted to do, he supported us. But he's also our dad, and we know in the back of his head he would have loved to us end up as athletes. And here we are, full circle moment, Nick. We're here talking live, getting paid to talk sports right now.
It's a dream come true.
It's kind of cool. Nicholas, you mentioned about your title, not even knowing about that position before. I don't think a lot of people may understand what that position is, what it does. Can you tell us your title and what your job is?
Yeah, so the Director of Partnerships for the Wisconsin Herd, what that means is, so we have tickets, we have two buckets that we really make money on. We are the G League affiliate of the Milwaukee Bucks, but what we are is we're a small LLC. So not a lot of people think of that when they think of a professional team, because they hear, hey, well, you're the affiliate, the one-to-one affiliate of the Bucks. You're global. You're big time. Mm. Oh, no, not really. We are the developmental league. So I'm not going to go back into the origin story of the actual the league that it used to be before we got the sponsorship of the
Dr. Gatorade. James Naismith had this peach basket.
but that what it is it's a bunch of smaller teams that are developmental leagues. So we develop coaches, players, front office staff, everyone that is impacted and has a hand in the G League is developing here. So what I do, though, is I focus on really what I've been doing for the past 7 years of the last two jobs is I work with corporate clients to try to give them visibility at our games, whether that's advertising, sponsorship, even tickets if they want to entertain clients, guests. I really just try to figure out how do we leverage the power of the athlete to amplify their brand. And so I work with a lot of companies. We'll talk a little bit about TDS sponsored our Black History Month, which is what we won promotion of the year of. So, you know, I'll plug them as well. But those are the type of things that we do is we work with partners, we figure out what's important to them, and then we tailor packages around what's important to them so that it makes sense. And when people see our brand and they see our partner's brand, they think it's synonymous with each other.
The audience is also getting the perfect example. Whenever I say that Nick got the brains in the family, now you can tell. Now I'm not just saying that, you can tell.
We have proof positive now, yeah.
Nick, let's talk about this great award. For those that didn't hear, the Wisconsin Herd were awarded the NBA G League Franchise of the Year and Promotion of the Year. What do these awards mean, Nick?
So I'll start with Promotion of the Year. Promotion of the Year, what we did is we partnered with TDS Telecom. See how I have to plug them?
yeah, nicely done.
We worked with them to create a platform. So for Black History Month, we did a theme. All we were going to do is a theme jersey. So really what this promotion was DEI was very important. Diversity, equity, and inclusion was very important to TDS. And they wanted to leverage us. We are probably the most influential thing within Oshkosh here and most diverse thing when you think of what we do from a basketball operations side all the way to what we do on the court. So they partnered with us to create a platform. And when we did that, we have a very strong president in Steve Brandis, who has been with the G League in some capacity for over 20 some years. And he has a lot of good contacts. So what we did is we wanted to create a platform that really spoke to the community, but then also We wanted it to be more on a regional and national level. So we created this platform. It's called Be the Light. And what that is we actually partnered with a artist named Pat Casso. And what he did was he took 12 influential, famous and influential black people or African Americans, and mm-hmm. really took them. He painted actually a likeness of them, and then we took that painting and we sublimated it onto the jerseys.
Oh, so awesome!
What it is we were able to do a bunch of different, or get the rights from a bunch of different people and their camps. But what we did is just some of the highlighted living legends that we did that were involved in the project. Vice President Kamala Harris, she was on there. Reverend Jesse Jackson. We had Reggie Van Lee. We had Flight Time. We had Showtime. Dr. Tommy Smith, Kevin Lloyd, Earl Lloyd's son. So we were able to take all these pieces, and then one of the big pieces that we also got was we got Kenny the Jet Smith.
Yes.
So one of the reasons why this kind of exploded for us was we did all these great things. We had really cool paintings of all of these famous really icons on these jerseys, but we actually had about a 3-minute piece on NBA or TNT from the guys on Inside the NBA. So we sent Kenny a jersey, and then we sent all of his other coworkers, or his co-stars, we sent them jerseys as well. So like Ernie Johnson, he's from Milwaukee, so we put 414 as his number on there.
Nice.
Which is the area code there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It was cool how we did it, giving Barkley and Shaq jerseys. Like when you go to the company to get them printed, and they say, and you say 5X, they kind of need more materials for those. But it was really cool, and we were able to just do a lot more than just the actual game. So we do all that, and that in and of itself was great. The people that were in attendance, we had Dr. Tommy Smith and his wife. We had Showtime, Flight Time. Reggie Van Lee was there.
That's awesome.
Earl Lloyd's son was there. So it was great to have all those people there and really be able to celebrate it. But another thing that we did the day before, and the reason why we really, one of the focuses that we have is community here. So what we did is the day before the game, we actually held a STEAM initiative, so science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. We did an activation at one of the middle schools here and brought our artist in, and he also partners with a guy named DJ Steady Rock, who's a phenomenal DJ, and they performed in front of these kids and inspired the youth in this community. So it was really, really great to be able to do something like that in the community. We also held all of these paintings were actually held at an art gallery at the local university, UW Oshkosh here. And so it became so much more than just an actual basketball game playing in thematic jerseys. It really became something that we could really put our stamp behind and leave a lasting impact on this community, which is the most important thing for us.
Yeah. When it comes to the winning the franchise of the year for this G League, it was a stunner because it hasn't happened before, but it's gone to Golden State's G League team, from what I understand.
Right. Yeah. So with franchise of the year, it's the most prestigious award given out at our sales and marketing meetings that we hold to recap every year. And honestly, the awards given to the best team, the team in the G League that best meets the core pillars. So compete with intensity, lead with integrity, and inspire play. Winning the franchise of the year is really the equivalent of winning the championship on the floor, but on the business side of basketball. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's something we call it, it's franchise of the year, but we use the term FOI. So everything that we do is for FOI. And really, it was something that all of the numbers go into winning franchise of the year. So you have to not only like be the best from an office standpoint and do a lot of important things in the community, but you have to have the numbers behind it to back it. So something that was pretty cool for us is to be able to have the numbers behind it was really impactful for us. So just off the top of my head, we had a 17% surge in sponsorship sales. I'll tell the guy kudos when I see him next. And a 17% rise in our social media accounts. We have sales manager here in Trevor Kroll that he did like almost $400,000 in group sales alone this year. And we all got together for one common goal and we're able to, you know, beat out some pretty, pretty strong and pretty big, big teams in Santa Cruz. And I think Texas is also a really big market, Texas Legends, that we go up against year after year. And, we're able to win it. So, to us, it means everything. It's really a testament to our partners, our season ticket members, the community that backs us, and really looking forward to defending that title next year.
Very cool, Nick. We've kept you a little longer than I planned. I didn't mean to do that to you, brother. I know how busy you are. Just real quick, anything up and coming with the Wisconsin Herd we want to tease to people?
Yeah. So for us, we're planning our schedule right now, so we've got more theme nights coming, community activations that we're working on. We're going to have a lot of what we had last year, but just amplify it for this next year. We've got a 5K coming up with a 1K walk, kind of kicking off our season in a couple months here, so stay tuned to that. And if you're not going to go down to Milwaukee, I'd strongly suggest you come on over to Oshkosh and experience some NBA level talent playing on our court. It's a lot more intimate vibe. We hold about 4,000 people in our arena, so much more intimate. You'll be able to interact and engage with not only our fans and attendees, but you know, maybe you'll be able to talk to some of our players as well. So come on out.
I need to do some reporting, so I'm going to come to a game this year, just for the reporting aspect, though. Just because, you know, not at all because I want to see my brother and his wonderful wife and my nephew. Yeah. It's not at all why.
Expense right up.
Yeah. Don't worry. You'll get tickets.
I know a guy. Nicholas, I'm so dang proud of you, and do really, really appreciate the time. I know how busy you are over there, and I know we've been wanting to do this for a while, so thank you for making the time, brother. Appreciate it. I owe you one. We'll talk again real soon, okay?
Appreciate it a lot. I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out Mom here. So, Mom, hope you had a great Mother's Day. Your favorite wins again.
I love it.
Nicely done.
Love it.
Hey, appreciate all that you do, brother, and keep up the great work. All right?
Back at you. Talk soon, man. Love soon. Love you. Love you, too. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thanks for the time. Nicholas Maloff, Director of Partnerships with Wisconsin Herd there joining us. That was fantastic. That was so much fun.
Oh, it was awesome.
We'll take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with your phone calls here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. Seth and James here with you behind these microphones, looking for you to join us. Call us, 424-2600. This is your show. Call up and join the conversation. We want to talk sports with you. Whatever you want to talk about, we will talk it as long as it is sports related. Again, 424-2600. Big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show.
Indeed.
And a shout out to my little brother, my favorite brother. Is he my only brother? Yes. But that doesn't mean that he's not still my favorite.
That's true. You could really not like him, That's not the case.
Appreciate Nicholas joining us. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I have to, just real quick to the audience, I've been playing with house money my whole career in radio. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to school for this. Yeah. I shouldn't be here. I got an opportunity and just took the ball and ran with it. I've been playing with house money for over. I could have lost my job years ago and I've been okay. Mm-hmm. I'm really okay now. Like that was a full circle moment for me. Like if this is my last day in radio, I'm good. I'm all right, everybody.
That's wonderful.
That was fun. I want to talk a little bit more about the NBA firings that have been going on, but I don't know how much more there is to really talk about other than...
Yeah.
For what I don't know about other people, but for me as a, and obviously I'm a diehard Chicago Bulls fan, but you just heard my little brother, my kids were all born in this state. I'm not going to not root for the Bucks or the Brewers or something like that.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the, if I'm a Bucks fan and I'm looking at this right now, my eyes are getting wider and wider because now at first I thought, well, Nick Nurse might be one of the best options I can get. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty cool. Kenny Atkinson with assistant head coach with the Golden State Warriors, that he's going to be a head coach any day now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got Monty Williams in the mix. Now you, I mean, does this, if you're an NBA, if you're a franchise and you have arguably, in my opinion, the greatest player in the world on your team, it's win now mode. There is no rebuilding in the NBA. Like, teams tank for like a year or two, and if that don't work, we just watch. Look at what Philadelphia did. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia had the quote process where they grabbed Embiid, they grabbed Ben Simmons, they grabbed these number one, Mikal Fultz with the number one picks, and they're tanking to one day become relevant. They haven't gotten out of the second round of the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that we've kind of understood now, all right, that don't work. Not to say that one example is it, but we've had other examples. Mm-hmm. This just happens to be one of the more recent, bigger ones.
Right.
So it's okay. I got to win now. Like, yeah, and that's the essence of this game. If you didn't know how bad it is, I just gave you four or five examples of how much it is. You got to win right now,
man. It's so amazing to me considering, you know, last week I think I mentioned it. You know, the Pat Rileys, the Phil Jacksons, that seems to be a thing of the past.
Chuck Daly.
Yeah. I mean, they would stick with a guy for a long time because he had proven record of success and was able to do that. Yeah, forget it. That's gone, man.
You got Greg Popovich and Eric Spoelstra, and like that's it. Or Steve Kerr, and like that's it. You know, like there is not a lot
and
of
Steve
like,
Kerr isn't really that long in the scheme of things. But the other two, you're right; those are like the last guy standing for that. Yeah.
If I'm a Bucks fan, I'm really excited about the opportunity of who could be coming in that door.
This could be big.
It's nothing against Budenholzer. Budenholzer is a great coach. He's going to get a job somewhere, and he's going to do great. He's a very good coach. You need a new voice sometimes. And man, if I was the one doing this hiring, I'd have interviewed a bunch of people, done my due diligence, and then I'd have hired Nick Nurse. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if I'd rather have Nurse or Monty Williams. I don't know. And they've already been doing the interview process already for a little while, Milwaukee. So let's say you've been doing this interview process, and then all of a sudden Monty Williams loses his job. Do you interview him? Do you just stick with the guys that you've been interviewing? I don't know how you do this. I don't know what you do there.
That's an interesting question. It'll be really fascinating to see how this all pans out.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
All right.
Oh, it's a beautiful Monday morning. I wish it was like this all weekend, but
yes,
we got to take it to where it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about the NBA with the head coaches and stuff like that. You mean, as long as you can and sit on the bench, can kind of control the egos a little bit, you know, no one that maybe call a timeout and adjust it a little bit. The NBA is nothing compared to what it was back in the day when Phil Jackson and those guys were coaching, because they don't run set plays anymore. It's just basically go down. It just seems like just go down, pass the ball around a little bit, and shoot. It's frustrating watching the NBA nowadays compared to what it was back in the early 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Not to nitpick what you're saying, I would say those coaches I mentioned before, the old school coaches like Kerr, Spoelstra, those, they still call plays and stuff. You're exactly right, though, about the majority of the NBA nowadays. And I think a lot of this stems from, for one, these kids coming out of college not knowing how to dribble a basketball. There's way too much of that. I personally, if I was running a league, this kid would have to be incredibly talented for me to grab a one and done. Give me a kid who's been playing 2-3 years and see what I can do with that before I grab a one and done kid, especially if I'm drafting lower in the draft.
Right.
That has been a big issue right there. As much as I am a pro player person and I am all in favor of players and I wholeheartedly back that, this is also what you get. If you want that, okay. But then you're going to have a bunch of coaches who are afraid to call you out on stuff because they don't want to lose their job. Excuse me, Mr. Antetokounmpo. Actually, you were wrong on that play. I need you to do this, this, and this. If you wouldn't mind, please, sir. If you wouldn't mind. Like, that's not I think majority of athletes, like a Giannis, like a lot of these guys, they don't want to be, you know, patted on the back and told they're doing a good job. They want a true coach. But the general managers, the owners, the first thing they see is, oh, I can't. I look at the other franchises. I look at the disgruntled superstar, and I'm deathly afraid of Giannis wanting to go to another place or something like that. So what do I do? Giannis, what do you want? Giannis, what do you need? Which isn't a bad idea. It's not horrible to talk to your employees. But there's a line. There's a balance act there. Right. I think one of the coolest things, that if I'm a Green Bay Packer fan right now, one of the coolest things about this year is, oh, no more drama. Oh,
yeah.
I don't have to deal with this. The last 30 years, it's been, oh, is this guy going to retire? Is this guy want to be traded? Blah, 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 blah. Who cares if Jordan Love's good or not? He ain't drama. He's not a soap opera. He's not a living, walking soap opera. I mean, to
not
me.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
I want to qualify that.
You know, Aaron Rodgers didn't start out as a soap opera either.
That's true.
But I would think that that's a relief right there. Going into the NBA and looking for a new coach, do you have to think of this? Yes. But that's not where the line in the sand for me. The line in the sand for me is that balance of, yeah, I need that. I also need somebody who's going to hold the line, who can do the job, who can actually, you know, you're so right about this, about the coaching in the NBA. During the regular season, during the playoffs, you got to know how to coach. There's no coaches left right now who are just winging it. Like, these guys know what they're doing. They're calling plays, they're doing these things. So you still do need coaching in the NBA. It still does come down to an important factor. And that brings me to the Milwaukee Bucks and who they're going to bring in. I know that they're a franchise that doesn't always go for big names, so I wouldn't see anything like that. But if you're looking at this, do you have a pick? Do you have anybody in mind, sir, that you would like to see coaching Giannis and those boys?
I like to see Chuck Daly and Phil Jackson.
Yeah. You and me both, sir. You and me both. Yes. Oh, that's a great answer. That's a good answer.
You know, do you want to try to keep it in house because they know the egos that are there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You know, I hate to see it. I mean, I follow the NBA because of the Bucks, but to understand who will be a good coach.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that, man. Yeah. That's not how sports talk radio works. Wait a minute. We're not doing this right. You're supposed to have an opinion, be unbashful about it, just scream at us and everything. We're not doing sports radio right. I'm sorry.
I guess we're doing it wrong.
I guess we're doing it.
Yeah, but right.
I'm with you on this. I'm throwing names out there, but I got no idea who's a perfect fit, who's going to call, you know those, everything you were just saying about the egos, about calling plays and all that. I've got guys that I know did good in other places that I think might be good, but I don't know who's going to be a good fit. It's not like in football. Like in football, I feel like, oh, I know who's going to be a good coach here, who would be perfect for this lineup and this talent.
Well, yeah, and in football, that's a great comparison, because in coaching, especially not necessarily just head coaches, but offensive and defensive coordinators, they're known for a certain like structure.
Yeah.
You know, they have like, oh, they've got this system here, and they're really good, and they can plug guys in, and it'll just work really well. We've seen it throughout NFL history. That's just in the NBA. It's a talent league. It's how your talent will take you as far as it can. And that's basically what it is. Now, you can have like an outline of a system, I think. But how, you know, you can't plug in, you know, a certain guy into a certain system and like it's going to work. No, you have to give him room to improvise. You got to get him room to do this, that, and the other thing. So it's fascinating. But you know, that was one of the things I was thinking about when we've been talking about this. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the role anymore of the NBA coach? You know, that's the big question I think they're starting to face right now.
It's just to manage the team is all they really are. Just making sure, you know, like I said, with the Eagles and stuff. But, you know, you can't really even look into the college ranks because how many college coaches have come to the NBA?
It's very rare.
And been successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of Larry Brown. He's like the one big one that I think of.
Good old Larry Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Steven, I mean, is Steven still in the coaching? You know, he was the one that he was with the
Bradley. And,
the
he's in the, he moved up to in the Boston, like he's like their general manager now or something like that. Brad Stevenson.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, that he didn't really, I mean, he didn't pan out very well.
No.
So, I mean, obviously you have to almost take, you know, do you look at maybe a retired basketball, you know, an NBA star that, you know, like you had Jason Kidd there for a while. Do you look at some of these guys that might, you know, you can't go to the college ranks. You just can't. I mean, football is a little different story. Yeah, you probably go from the college ranks and bring them up. You'd be your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, which, you know, things like that. But to do it,
Let's talk about football a little bit before I let you go, sir. The NFL released their schedule for the 2023 season. Anything stand out to you about that schedule right away? Anything you're looking forward to?
I will make my prediction right now. The Packers will probably be either 9-8 or 8-9, so a 500 ball club. The Jets will be, to start the season out, they'll be 2-4 on their first six games.
And they'll be howling. They'll be howling in New York.
Oh, I'm gonna be listening to New York radio like crazy. Yeah.
You know, you hate to say it, but they. I mean, you see some of the people out there in New York, and they're already predicting that they're gonna like be 14-3 or 13-4, and they're gonna like start the season out 6-0 almost. If you look at their schedule, they have a brutal schedule.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, for one thing, they start out against the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, it's in New York, but
still, yeah.
You know, it's Josh Allen and you know, it's just, I don't know.
I think of the phrase that my mom used to say to me all the time growing up, careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't think either party knows what they're walking into. I don't think the New York fan base completely understands what it's going to be like when Aaron Rodgers, after a three-interception game, comes to the podium, what he's going to be like. And he darn sure doesn't understand what the New York media is going to do to him.
Oh,
there's no
fun.
Way, in my mind, if Aaron Rodgers even had a glimpse of what he's walking into, he would have picked New York.
Like, think so?
There's no way in my mind. But because this is, again, one of those things that happens when you're a bubble guy and you only have yes men around you and everything, he thinks he's going to handle this. He thinks no different than Green Bay. He's going to walk into the room, he's going to be the smartest person in the room, and he can handle this better than anybody can and all that, blah, blah, blah. It is going to be very interesting to see.
I think the biggest question what is Pat McAfee going to do now? He's got nothing now, man. Why did no one else listen to his show? That's the only reason they listen to it.
That's it. Right. He's going to be just fine. He's getting that Disney money. He's going to get that Disney
true,
money.
That's
Pat
true,
McAfee's going to be just fine.
You know, so, I mean, for as the Packers, though, I mean, if you want, I think it's going to be, Vegas, I think they have them at +/-7.5. Mm-hmm. If they finish 500, I mean, Jordan Love did a heck of a lot better his first season than Rodgers did his first season. I think Rodgers was 6-10 or whatever. But if you look at the Packers, the way they're set up right now, it basically the only change you have is in the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to the same team that Rodgers had last year. So
I
just think it just depends on where Joe Barry goes with his defense and how aggressive he gets.
Oh, to me, I'm curious to see what the bigger storyline is, and I'm splitting hairs a little bit here because you can tie the two to each other. But what are you going to be paying attention to more? And I ask this to you, the fan base out there: Jordan Love's development or the win loss records? You know, for your team. Because for me, if I was coming into this year, I would be a little more interested in Jordan Love's development than I would, hey, are we going to make the playoffs or anything like that? I don't think Green Bay is in a rebuild mode by any means. They're just getting a little bit of a late jump on what they were trying to do when they drafted Jordan Love. What the blueprint is in the NFL nowadays, you go back to what Seattle did with Russell Wilson. We got him on that rookie contract. While we have him cheap, we're going to surround him with talent, and we're going to build up and see what we can do, see if we can win something, see if this kid is any good. If he's good, we'll give him the big deal, and then we'll deal with that when that happens. But if he's no good, all right, we're moving on. He's Josh Rosen. We're moving on. He's another thing. Or is he Russell Wilson? Wilson? Is he the next kid? Is he Jalen Hurts? Is he something like that?
Right.
Get yourself a disgruntled wide receiver. Get yourself a, you know, something like this or whatever, and see what you can do with it. It's what the NFL has always been parody, and it's not any different now. But the blueprint works. But you're late. You're getting a late start on this, so you gotta make sure now. You have to figure out, hey, even on those third and shorts, and he doesn't convert, was the ball there? Mm-hmm. Was it the receiver that dropped it? Was it how is this kid developing? We're in a similar situation in Chicago. We're behind the eight ball on that. Justin Fields' contract is only getting bigger and bigger every time this kid plays. If they're going to do anything, they've got to do it while that contract's cheap, mm-hmm. which isn't probably going to happen. They're nowhere near as far along developed as the Green Bay Packers are. So if you're asking me, the Packers are not only not in rebuild mode, it's let's see what we got mode. And yeah. I'm not saying they can maybe run for a title this year, but next year might not look so bad. Yeah. That's where my, where is yours, where are your eye is going to be, sir?
I think you're totally right. I mean, it's more of a development. See, you know, obviously there's, you know, he's going to have a couple rough games.
Yeah,
but we'll see how he does in the adjustments. You mm-hmm. know, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. If he's making the stupid mistakes at the front of the year and then still doing them again at the end of the year, then you know, then I would have to worry. But if he can just manage the game. And the defense is supposed to be as good as they're supposed to be. Like I said, they could win games, but I just hope that he develops well. Mm-hmm. And I think if you listen to some of the talk radio and you hear some of the chatter, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
See what happens this year. And then you know, and then next year is going to be the year that it's going to have to move forward.
Really feels like the fan base is rooting for the kid too, mm-hmm. and I think that goes a long way. I think that's cool. Kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see that, especially when you lose a Hall of Fame quarterback. You don't always see that in a fan base. It's pretty cool to see the fan base being very. I haven't heard from one Packer fan that hasn't been excited about this stuff and everything. And again, that relief of just like, okay, at least that's done. That storyline is done. We can move on to
Let's
the next.
Move on. Yeah.
Always appreciate the time, sir.
One quick thing. Let's think back 15 years or whatever, 15 years ago when it was Favre and Rodgers transition. Rodgers didn't have the love like what Jordan's getting right now.
No,
very true.
You're absolutely
very
right.
True. Yes, yes.
You know, that was a pretty brutal breakup there.
Yeah, yeah.
All I can say is that this show needs to be on longer than an hour. So just put more on your guys' plate than what you guys have already.
Appreciate you. Appreciate
that's good,
you.
Though. Yeah.
Really do. Thanks for calling up, sir. You have a great day.
Oh. All right, guys. You have a great week.
You
thank
too.
You. Thank yeah. you. It's such a good conversation.
Yeah.
And don't disagree with him. Yeah. We need more of that hour.
You mentioned Jalen Hurts. I just want to do a shout out to Jalen Hurts. Earned his master's degree from Oklahoma. Good for him. Yeah. I think that's super awesome.
Justin Fields recently graduated from Ohio State as well.
I love seeing the players going back to do that. That is so cool.
Kids look up to these kids, mm-hmm. these guys, because they are kids. I mean, they're just kids. Yeah, they're like they're in their early 20s and stuff. But kids looking up to kids looking up to them, it's not just the highlight reels that they do when you see them do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's like, that so cool.
It matters.
I love it. I love it.
We contract wise have to talk a little bit of MLB with Seth. If Seth is going to join us, we only got about 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's okay. It's all right.
But interesting time. We're seeing we're starting to see kind of the fat kind of rise and some stuff rise.
Yep.
What rose to the top and now is coming down. Pirates be coming down to life a little.
They're
bit
becoming
more.
The Pirates, but we thought they would be this year, basically. Yeah.
But it is interesting to see Tampa Bay just continues to keep winning.
Wow. The amazing thing, they keep losing guys like crazy. Half of their starting pitching staff is out right now.
Yeah.
At least two guys are getting Tommy John surgery, and they're still winning. What is going on down there? I want to know what magic they have in Tampa, because they pull guys out of their hat, and it's like, oh, we'll just put him in here now.
I was thinking about something the other day when I was watching them play. I was thinking, if that whole franchise was – everything was the same except they were the Cincinnati Reds. Imagine how they'd be one of the biggest stories in sports.
100%. 100%.
It's such a crime. And imagine that fan base with good baseball.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's got some great fans. Ohio's got great baseball fans.
Yeah.
Imagine
the oldest team in the baseball, the oldest professional team is the Cincinnati Reds. They're the first ones that were ever doing that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got a team like the Rays where nobody goes to those games.
It is sad.
And I don't know how you fix anything like that, but it is kind of sad to see, especially when I see reports of, like, we saw a couple of years ago, the Cincinnati Reds arguably maybe, like, they may be moving. You've got the A's that are going to move. Like,
yep.
It's a shame.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the contrast is amazing. Look at the contrast between the Rays and the San Diego Padres.
Mm.
Totally different ways of doing things. San Diego, buy everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like sign every single person you can get.
Every shortstop.
Yeah, spend a gajillion dollars. Mm. And they're 500 team right now.
Yeah.
Less than. I mean, they're under 500 at the moment. And you look at the Rays, who have no payroll. And look at what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, why isn't everyone doing what the Rays are doing?
Yeah, right.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How you doing, Gare?
Another good, interesting team is Baltimore.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All they play is extra inning games in Baltimore now. Yeah, that's it. That was a good game. Did you enjoy that one, Gary?
Chicago and straighten them socks out.
As soon as we have a team meeting here at 11:15, as soon as we're done with that today, I'm heading straight to my old stomping grounds on the south side. I'm going to have
shape them up, man.
I'm going to have a word with those guys. Yeah, then they'll ask me who I am. Who are you? Why are you yelling?
Why are you here?
Always good to talk to you, Gary. You take care.
Party.
I did want to mention this really quickly, a little bit of breaking news. Ex-Falcons and Colts quarterback Matt Ryan is going to be joining CBS Sports as an analyst.
So he's done then, in other words. I guess he's done.
He didn't even announce his retirement yet.
Taking a new job.
But he does say on Twitter, P.S., this is not a retirement post. So, I don't know really. I don't know how that's going to work out for you, Matt. But wish him well. Wish him well on it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's take one more call before we wrap up the show. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. 2 weeks till Raptors baseball.
Oh,
yes. Yes. Cannot wait. Is it here yet? Can I hibernate until then?
It'd be nice.
All right, well, you guys have a good day. I'll let you go.
All right, you too. Have a good one, brother. That was good. That was
good
a great
reminder.
Call.
We didn't talk any Raptors today. I
got
know.
It in. We got it in.
We got it in, though.
Nicely done. Because we got the best callers out there.
That's
we got the
right.
best people
you guys
out
are
there.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Real quick, I did want to also mention, as far as Raptors news goes, we're going to be having the Raptors joining us at least a couple times a month leading up to this season and all season long. We are also looking forward to having Meet Your Raptors back. We've already talked with the boys over there, and we're going to work that out. Probably have it on Playmakers here. That's probably how we'll do that. It may even be something that we'll record and play. If that's the case, you know, we'll see. It'll probably again end up in Playmakers, but then we'd maybe be able to play it on Over the Back Fence on the weekend or something like that, like we used to do.
Exactly. Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll see, but I just want to let the audience know that is in effect. We will be having it. We are so excited to have Raptor Baseball back this season. NorthwoodsLeague.com is where you go to get your tickets and find out more about the promotions, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As far as MLB goes, I'm waiting. I keep on looking to see who's hurt. Starting pitchers, like they just keep going down left and right, man.
There's something going on. I'm guessing it has to do with these new places they're going to get. You know, 1 or 2 miles per hour.
Yeah.
They're throwing hard every single pitch. I think the bill has come due now on this, and that's what we're seeing, and it's troubling to me. It is very troubling. I don't like this. I don't think anyone likes this.
No, especially when we're all, you know, begging for complete games again and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. But that is going to do it for our show for this week, but we'll be back with another Playmakers next Monday. Be sure to join us from 10 to 11 every Monday for more Playmakers. Seth, thanks for pitch hitting today.
Not a problem.
We'll talk to you all soon. Thanks to the best listeners out there, all of you guys for calling. And a shout out to my little brother Nicholas for joining us. Thanks for that, Nick. Appreciate you. We'll have more Playmakers for you next week. Thank you to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR, locally grown radio.